Scripture reading for today will be from 2 Corinthians 6, 3-13. We put no stumbling blocks in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in trouble, hardships, and distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness and in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide to hearts, our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affections from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also.
All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we are so thankful for just the greatness of who you are. Just as we prayed earlier, we thank you for your beauty. We thank you for how that beauty is evident in our community on this day. And we pray, Lord, that you would remind us again about the beauty of your sacrifice, all that you gave to us, all your abundant generosity in your grace through Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, in response to that, that we too would become people of generosity and of grace in response to the greatness of who you are. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, challenge us, reveal to us what your heart is for our congregation moving forward. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm not actually preaching from Luke. Pastor Charles was going to be preaching on Fishers of Men. And there's a lot to say. And to be honest, I didn't feel comfortable kind of saying anything too quickly because I want to save it. So perhaps you'll hear more of that next week. But today I want to share something. This isn't really a part of any series. This is just some thoughts. I want to just share something that was on my mind about our church, and maybe hopefully has some relevance to you as well. Before I get into that, I want to talk about this whole concept of fair exchange. I think fair exchange is a common principle that we have in a lot of relationships. Basically, I'll go as far as you go. You know, I'll give as soon as you give first. Is this kind of familiar to some folks? I know some of us, like, growing up, I see it sometimes at cool church kids when the kids are like trading marbles or even trading Pokemon cards or whatever. They're always like, okay, if I give you this marble, I better be getting a marble that's just as good coming back, you know? And you think as we get older, we grow out of those things, but you see it all the time. You see it, all these discussions on the internet, on blogs about like, I can't believe we traded away our best star player, the first round draft pick for that guy. What an unfair trade. You know, a lot of times when we're working together with people, I want to put in my 50%, but I'll only put it in if you put in your 50%. And a lot of us have this kind of conditional understanding that we will only give as much as we receive. And that kind of comes into the life of our churches, too. You know what? I'm not going to give back into this church until I see that it's giving back to me. In fact, many choose to leave a church if they feel like they're not getting anything out of it. I have often heard, as a pastor, many times people saying, you know, I left that church because I just wasn't getting fed, quote unquote. And basically, another way that they'd want to say it, it's like, I wasn't getting anything out of it. Which is completely understandable in a way. But a lot of us are shifting our understanding of church to this this concept of, what I like to say, kind of consumer-oriented spirituality. In fact, I remember one job interview for a church. I still think about it in the past. Someone basically told me, you know, you as a pastor, I hope you realize that you could learn something from the phrase that basically is, the customer is always right. So you as a pastor need to realize that the customer is always right. It's not that hard to be a pastor. Just give them what they want. And inside of me, I kind of like curled up, thinking like, that's some very dangerous advice. Because the danger of this kind of advice about the customer always being right is that we begin to think about our needs first before the needs of others. We kind of become more aware of what we need, what is going towards us, but not what is going out unto others. And as a result, I think it's by no coincidence that as we're kind of adopting this consumer-oriented spirituality, many of our churches are increasingly feeling like places that are isolated. Some church analysts are actually saying that the age of the mega church is on the way out. Because in the beginning, that's what we wanted. We wanted a great church that had great resources. We wanted great speakers. We wanted, you know, great music. We wanted this experience when you came through the doors. It was lively and engaging. Some mega churches have even quoted, we wanted to give them an hour of heaven. And so a lot of the presentation was really important. They didn't want to feel like, well, going to Disneyland is a lot more exciting than going to church. I mean, going to worship God is the most exciting place. Let's make it the most exciting place on earth. And that's a great approach. I think that's wonderful, and it's many people appreciate that. But there's a downside to it. Because many megachurches now have become so big, a lot of people are drawn to them because you can go into this great congregation with many, many people, and you don't have to really interact with anyone. You can kind of be on like row 355 and not really talk to anyone. And it's sort of convenient. You don't have to get messed up with other relationships. You don't have to like engage in small talk. There's that little spot where it says, let's turn to next to each other and just say hello. Just shake their hands very quickly. And then you hear this dynamic speaker. You walk away thinking, wow, I have so many spiritual insights from this, and I'll go home, and it's great for the rest of my life. But we really haven't interacted with anyone. And then what happens in a lot of these environments, people begin to wonder, does anyone care about me? If I keep going to this church and I feel isolated, then we begin to think, if this is a place where I'm meeting with God, why do I always feel loneliness? And then we start to associate that loneliness with coming before God. Like, I'm not interacting with anybody. Am I even interacting with God? I feel isolated. And then many of us think, why should I get involved in any of those cell groups or those small groups if no one's really reaching out to me? But it was all this kind of vicious cycle, because it started with this kind of culture saying like, well, we're going to serve your needs first. But if you keep serving your needs first, other people's needs aren't served. And as a result, you could have like a room full of hundreds, thousands of people, and no one really feels like they know each other, and we all feel alone. And this is kind of something that we struggle with in ministry, is that how do we create a community where people care for each other? Where people care for each other not just because we're the same, but because we're God's people. How do we find that kind of inspiration but still hold people together? And the church of Corinth was struggling with something similar. If you read in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Paul is encouraging people not to forget about this great salvation that God gave them. You know, don't let it go to waste. Don't receive this salvation that you have from God in vain. God is here. He saved you. And he reminds them, remember that through Jesus Christ, he became weak and vulnerable, even to the point of dying on a cross, all for the purpose that you could draw close to him. You see, this is the model that Christ gave to us. It was through Christ becoming weak and vulnerable on a cross that people were encouraged to come closer. Paul came face to face with this love that opened up to him. And he fell in love with God, and his life was forever changed. We read about this change in 2 Corinthians. He pleads with the church. He says, look at my life. Do you think I went through all of these hardships? Verse 5, it says, I went through beatings, imprisonments, riots. I went through hard work, sleepless nights, hunger, impurity, and understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, and truthful spirit, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet not yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. How did he endure all of this? It all started because someone opened up to him. And that was Jesus. You see, Christ gave his life for Paul. And as a result, Paul wanted to give his life for God and for others. You know, verse 3, Paul says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. He lived a life of integrity and transparency. He wanted to show the love of Christ through the very actions he did. He challenged people to think about the fruit of their lives. Are all the efforts that you take, are all the things that you struggle with, are they for others? Paul displayed all the things that he struggled with to show that he was very genuine. But ultimately, he showed, why did he do all of these things? Why did he go through all these hard and sleepless nights? He did this to show the love that he had received. This is what the love of God looks like. This is the love of God I received, and I'm displaying what it looks like for you. As Christ gave his all for Paul, Paul gave his all to the church. And this is the verse I want to focus on, verse 11. We have opened wide our hearts to you, but you are withholding yours from us. And you know, this verse has a lot of meaning for me. It came in a time where I was really struggling with ministry. And this was at a time when Rhea and I were still dating long distance. And I feel bad because many of my phone calls to Rhea were a lot about, I can't do this, I'm complaining, I'm like crying, and you know, I'm just a mess. And you know, Rhea really encouraged me a lot in those times, and I'm so thankful. And there were so many times where she really just encouraged me and strengthened me in a lot of difficulties. But one that really stuck out was this verse, 2 Corinthians 6:11. We have opened wide our hearts to you, but you are withholding yours from us. What I was going through at the time in the ministry was that I was at a church where a lot of people had been going for a long time, and they were very familiar with each other. But it was interesting how everyone would say to me, you know, I feel like a stranger at this church. I feel like I'm not getting anything out of this church. And the church was in some very difficult times. A lot of negativity was being passed around. And I, as a pastor, just really felt hopeless. I felt very helpless. How can I change the culture that's happening right now? You know, maybe you today have come here thinking, like, I'm here just because I have to be here. You know, what am I getting out of this? Do I really want to spend any more time with these people? As soon as this is over, you know, the best part of this sermon was Pastor Sam says a benediction, because that means I can leave. And I've felt like that in churches. I have been on the pulpit where people feel like that. And it's a very frustrating feeling. And a lot of what spoke to me about this verse was, how is it going to happen? How are we going to become people like Paul? And as I mentioned before, I think the real key was God opened wide his heart to Paul. And as a result, Paul opened his heart wide to others. And Paul is once again saying, open wide your hearts. But the thing is, you're withholding yours. And that's why you can't see the fullness of his love right now. And when I'm sharing this, I'm not saying that CCC is not a warm-hearted church. In fact, This is kind of funny, but when I first found out about your church, I sent in Rhea, because she was living in D.C., as a spy to this church. I sent her in, and I said, I don't know what this church is like. I haven't heard of this church. Why don't you just go and visit and see what it's like? And she went, and she had the service, and she went down, and she just called me afterwards, and she said, you know what? They're really, really warm-hearted people. I was so welcomed. I really enjoyed the food. You know, it was just really nice folks. Everyone really went out of their way. When I'm preaching this, I'm not saying that this church is not warm-hearted. That's definitely not the case. In fact, one of the reasons why I'm so happy to be a part of the ministry here is that people are so warm-hearted and genuine here, and I'm very grateful for that. But I do want to challenge just a little bit about this. A lot of times we might come into a church that we feel is like everyone's very nice and very warm-hearted, but we still feel kind of cut off and isolated. And it happens to all churches, big and small. And it really comes down to this whole question of how wide do we feel we can open our hearts to each other? And at this point, I want to share a little bit about my undergrad degree about Asian studies. And I like to talk about Asian studies because it doesn't have a lot of, you know, practical value in the world. So whenever I get a chance to talk about it, I really jump at it. Asian studies, we talk a lot about culture. And a lot of the things, what kind of makes the... And I focused on China, Japan, and Korea. And in particular, one thing that unites these three cultures is the concept of Confucianism. And an important thing is this understanding of inside and outside. And you might have grown up with this, even though you might be a second, third, fourth generation Asian American. We all have this inside of us, this kind of concept of inside and outside. And basically this understanding, even if you look at the Chinese characters, a foreigner, it actually, if you know Chinese characters, it literally means like outside person. And there's this kind of understanding like, are you an inside person or an outside person? And in this culture, there's this understanding is like, we only take care of who's on the inside. You know, in my inner circle, those are the people I look after, I take care of. And in a perfect world, that's wonderful. Everyone takes care of their own, right? But the danger of this is like, anyone on the outside, we just don't interact with them. We don't open up to them. You don't share what goes on in the inside to the people on the outside. Maybe you've noticed this, how you're growing up, your parents might have reprimanded you and said, hey, don't talk about that stuff. That's family stuff. We don't talk about that to strangers. That's only a thing inside the family. A lot of us live these kind of isolated lives. And so, as a result, many of us are not very comfortable opening ourselves to those on the outside. It's no wonder that, actually, if you compare all the minority groups, time and time again, statistically, it's found that Asian American communities are the ones least likely to give back to the community. You know, they take care of their own family very well. But it's very unlikely that they will kind of give back to the community, take roles of leadership in the community, or contribute to the community. And obviously that's changing as we change in our cultures. But why am I sharing about this in church is that in a lot of Asian American churches, I think a lot of the difficulty we have is opening our lives to each other. And it's not simply about being hospitable. In fact, if it's about hospitality, I really do feel CCC ranks up with, you know, some of the greatest churches I've ever been in. This is really a hospitable church. But I'm talking about sharing our lives. You know, there is a point where it is comfortable to kind of just stay close, to give to people, but not really reveal what is inside of us. And so there is a point where we can just be generous and charitable to each other, and that's wonderful. But what really builds a community is that we open our hearts to each other. We become vulnerable to each other. We become willing to even share not just the good things, but even the things we struggle with each other. And let me tell you, this is what our current society is looking for. If you look a lot of people who are talking about, you know, the future of church and what people are really hungry for, the two key words that people talk about often are these. One is authenticity. And the second is community. They want to go to a place where they feel that people are genuine and that people have a connection. And you know, that doesn't happen overnight. Because we live in a world where we have a lot of, you know, burdens to kind of to uphold. We feel this burden to kind of show that we are qualified. You know, in the East Coast, I think this is something that's really difficult, is that there are so many people who are so overeducated here, overachieving here. You know, we really need to show that, like, I belong in this kind of environment. And we don't kind of want to reveal the harder parts. I remember one pastor was sharing, as he was at this important gala of, like, many important political figures. They're all going around. They literally said their name, and then secondly, what school they graduated from. You know, hi, my name is blah, 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 Yale, PhD. And then it came to him, and he said, hi, my name is blah, 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 Bible College. And everyone went around. One guy even started laughing at him, like, oh, good joke. Haha, that was very funny. Another person thought, are you, like, part of the kitchen staff? You know, there's this kind of burden for us to feel like we belong here. And that makes us not really want to share. And what can happen is sometimes we come into a church or a community and we feel like, oh, wow, I don't belong here, because it looks like everyone else belongs. Because everyone else looks so qualified. Everyone else looks like they don't have problems. If I have problems and I come into this church, it's all perfect. I don't want to, like, destroy it and blemish it. But the funny thing is, like, everyone walks in thinking the same thing. You know, and as a result, we're all kind of keeping fronts before each other, and we keep our hearts closed because we're afraid of how people will judge us. What if people know, like, this is the neighborhood I'm from? What if people know this is actually what I'm struggling with in my family? What if people know that I don't have all the answers when it comes to God? And as a result, we keep our hearts closed. But you see, this is exactly why there's this exodus in our churches today. Because there's a new generation of people coming out that are saying, I can't buy into a God that is all about facades. A God who just supports, you know, the status quo. I want a God who sees who I really am and he really loves me for who I am. And how are we going to get to that point? We come back to look at Jesus Christ. We read that Jesus Christ is God, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. And he was in very nature God. He was basically God in every aspect. But rather than choosing this as a status to lord over people, he made himself nothing. And in fact, became a servant and opened himself to us. Think about what that's like. God, who is invincible, God, who cannot be hurt by anyone, chose to come before us as one who is weak, one who is willing to be wounded by us, one who is willing to even be hurt by us, manipulated by us. But it is this amazing love that God does that brings us in. You see, I sometimes hear these kind of things that, you know, we do a lot of activities together, we do a lot of things together, but I still don't feel like I'm home spiritually. Do we feel like in this community at CCC, we could be people that share our lives with each other, our struggles, and that we would be accepted and prayed for and encouraged in our faith? To not stay in our struggles, but to overcome together. Do we feel like this is a place where I could share my struggles and be heard and lifted up and built up in faith? And maybe someone is saying, like, yeah, there's no way I could open up my heart that wide to people here. I'll do it as soon as someone does it to me first. And that is exactly what Paul was struggling with in Corinth. He was saying, you know what, you guys are wonderful people, but we have opened wide our hearts to you. I want to encourage you, open wide your hearts as well. What I'd love this church to grow in is not necessarily numbers, but I would love it to grow in this very risky, very difficult task of opening wide your hearts to each other. And no one really wants to do it, because if we share and we become vulnerable, the really scary thing about becoming vulnerable is that you can be hurt and I can't guarantee it's always going to go wonderfully. As a pastor, you know, I think it's very important that I share about my life when I'm preaching. I get very worried when my messages become a little too theoretical. They become a little too, you know, point one, two, three. But, you know, it's true. Sometimes when I share about my life, people have used it against me in the past. And it's very hurtful. Because sometimes I'm sharing something out of love. And people use it against me and attack me personally. And sometimes I look back and think, like, man, I just shouldn't have shared anything. I would have been safe. I would have been safe, but I would have been alone. Yes, Jesus could have looked at us and he could have said, you know what? He could have just kept shouting from heaven, just saying, guys, get it together. But that's not what he wanted to do. He chose to come down among us and open his heart. And open wide his heart so that we could open wide our hearts. And the thing is, this is the amazing miracle. When we open wide our hearts, we're thinking like all of who we are is just going to flood out and we're going to be empty, we're going to be hurt, we're going to be wounded. But this is the miracle, that as you open up your heart, as you open wide your heart, God will fill it. He will fill your heart, and he will pour out even more love. You know, in this time of talking about the economy and the fears of the future, a lot of us talk about the word conservation. You know, don't give out too much of yourself. Don't give out too much information about the inside, you know. Don't share that stuff. Because it's going to bite you back. And we live in a culture that talks about that, about this inside culture. What's this inside? Keep it on the inside. But God is saying, if you break open the doors to the outside, watch how I will fill and pour and overflow in your life. And that's what I talked about 2 weeks ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, that those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. But the good news is that those who sow generously will reap generously. Those who open wide will find the wide and great generous blessings of God. A small heart receives a small blessing. A big heart receives big blessings. And I want to encourage us all, myself included, let's be people that are willing to share our weaknesses, our struggles, for the sake of opening wide our hearts. Last week in our discipleship group, you know, before we got into the Bible study, I really just wanted to make it a point to share with my group. And I said, you know, I really don't want to come across as a pastor who has it all. I know I do a lot of Bible studies, I'm trying to teach you stuff. But I want to make it really clear, I struggle with sin. I struggle with things. I'm weak. There's nothing really that sets me apart from you, just that I'm called differently. And so we took that time to just pray for each other. What are the places that you're struggling with? You know, I'll tell you, I find it really hard to share with someone who's always like, oh, you know what? My life is great. You know what? You're struggling? What's wrong with you? I find it very difficult to foster a genuine relationship with people who I always feel like they're always coming at me with a spirit of superiority. And you know, I really don't think CCC does that. But I do want to say, I want to see our church grow in this way, to be a church that grows in this strange art of vulnerability, that we may be a community and we may be authentic with each other. Because it is in those places of vulnerability that we see the power of grace working most powerfully. It is in those places, when we are weak, we see the strength of God come through. And I believe that God is very strong. And the things that you're struggling with in silence right now, maybe some of you have gathered today, and you're just alone, and you're feeling like no one understands, I want you to know that God understands, because God became weak. And that in this community, there could be people that help you, that can help you. But I want to encourage everyone, be that person to give that same openness to them as well. Let us grow not just in theology and in teaching, but let us grow in love. This is the real power of the gospel. That though Christ had everything, he gave us his all and died for us. And as a result, we have new life. Let us give ourselves to others that we may show them the new life of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you as a church and we ask forgiveness. We stand on behalf of many churches in our church where there's been temptations, Lord, for us to build ourselves up, to feed ourselves before we feed others. But Lord, we pray that you'd help us to repent and to become a church that opens wide our hearts, even becomes weak for others, that others may know the power of the gospel. We pray that you'd make us a church that opens wide our hearts unto each other. May we be a church that really fosters a true community. Would you give us the courage to share who we really are with each other? And that we would not judge each other, but we would love and accept them with the same grace of acceptance that we have received in Jesus Christ. Let us be your people of love and mercy, always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.